We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start reading at verse 14. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Father, we're thankful for the word of God. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning. Pray that you'd bless those who've assembled here in Jesus' name. Lord, correct us and instruct us and inspire us this morning. And may we give you the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the pillar and ground of the truth. In my text it says, if I tarry long, verse 15 of chapter 3, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, that is the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul makes it very clear in my text what is the function, the proper function of the church. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. Both of these terms, pillar and ground, refer to a support, a prop in a building. And so the purpose of Paul's statement here concerning the church is to show the relationship of the church to the truth. The church is a divine institution with the duty and privilege of preserving, proclaiming, and portraying the truth. That is the essential purpose of the church of Jesus Christ. It is to preserve, proclaim, and portray the truth. 3 points that I'd like to bring out right quickly. One is, trusted with the truth. Secondly, traitors to the truth. And thirdly, transformed by the truth. First of all, trusted, we've been trusted with the truth. Enough said right there. Can you get a hold of that? That God has trusted us with the truth that is deposited in His body, deposited in the church, the truth. I mean, nobody in the world except you and me has been given the truth. It's been deposited in the church of Jesus Christ. God has trusted us with the truth. He's trusted us with the truth to preserve that truth from generation to generation. Paul makes this statement about himself in Titus 1 and 3. That God in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto men according to the commandment of God. According to the commandment of God our Savior. So he says that God has entrusted me with the truth. with the gospel message. God entrusted me with it. And you know, to all of us here this morning, God has entrusted you as a child of God with the truth. That truth is to be preserved, is to be proclaimed, is to be portrayed in your life. This is the purpose of the church of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Fathers are to teach their children. What are we to teach our children? We're to teach our children the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture, the discipline, admonition, the teaching of the Lord. God has given to us fathers the privilege and the responsibility of passing down to the next generation the truth that God has entrusted to us. And the Bible teaches us that older women are to teach the younger women. Titus 2 and 4. Bishops are to be apt to teach. What are we supposed to teach? We're supposed to teach the truth. God has entrusted us with the truth. I want to tell you something. There's not two truths. There's not three truths. There's only one truth in all of the world. And that's the truth that God has entrusted to us in the Word of God. The Bible says that, was it Jude that said, "When I was minded to write of you this common salvation," he said, "I thought it needful to write unto you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." That faith which was once delivered to the saints is the truth that God has entrusted to us. That everybody who believes in that truth will be saved. And those who do not believe in that truth will not be saved. God has given to us that truth. You know, Paul the Apostle said, "My, what a responsibility. Who's sufficient for these things? Here I am proclaiming a gospel that men are going to listen to and make a decision about and go to heaven or hell." That's how important it is. This truth that God has entrusted to me and you, God has trusted us with the truth. The truth focuses on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It ain't just about morals. It ain't just about do's and don'ts. It's about a person. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. And that person of Jesus Christ, when we believe in Him and trust in Him, and He is, His image is recreated in us, His life is lived through us. And this truth focuses on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Here was the emphasis of the early church. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, or vindicated by the Spirit. The Bible tells us He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, vindicated by the Spirit of God. God raised Jesus from the dead and vindicated Him before the world. They crucified Him as a criminal, but God raised Him from the dead. He was justified in the Spirit, vindicated by the Spirit, seen of angels. In other words, when God brought Jesus out of the grave and He returned to His glory on high, angels beheld the glory of Jesus. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. Hallelujah. This is the truth that God has entrusted to the church of Jesus Christ. Now I'll tell you, brother, you and I must keep the focus upon Jesus. The world is trying to take the focus off of Jesus. But you and I must keep the focus on Jesus Christ. You hear me? I said we must keep the focus on Jesus Christ. This Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Hallelujah. We've been trusted with the truth. We cannot afford to drop this gospel truth. The Word of God is essential to the next generation. And we must be faithful to the trust that God has given to us. Secondly, traitors to the truth. Paul warned Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What is the faith? It's the body of truth that God's entrusted us with. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. People would be affected in the last days by wrong teaching. They'd be affected by wrong teaching. And that wrong teaching would come at times from devils themselves. They would believe seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, so that there is a hellish smell about some of these things that are being perpetrated in our society. They come right out of hell, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Bible tells us that no man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, you've got one of two options about Jesus. He's either accursed or he's Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil says he's accursed. And the Father said he's Lord. Hallelujah. He's been declared to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And this is the option the world has got. The devil says he's accursed. And the Holy Ghost says he's Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Devils are teaching. Devils are instructing. They're instructing through ministers behind the pulpits. They're instructing through preachers on the television. They're instructing through preachers on the radio. They're instructing through mothers and dads who've listened to the wrong voice. Devils are instructing. And brother, people are listening. You hear me? I said people are listening. And they're getting their instructions from hell. And the Bible says it would be true in the last days that men would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But it wouldn't just be devils that would be instructing. He said on down here in my text in verse 7, refuse profane and all wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, so that some people are led astray by old wives' fables. You know, it's an old wives' fable that you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I said, that's an old wives' fable. That don't come out of the Word of God. Did you hear me? I said, that don't come out of the Word of God. That's an old wives' fable. It's another old wives' fable. If you read your Bible too much, you'll go crazy. That's not in the Bible. That's an old wives' fable. And, you know, some of them say it's bad luck if a black cat crosses the road in front of you. That ain't the Bible. That's an old wives' fable. A lot of people being led astray by old wives' fables. They don't know the difference between a truth and a lie. You understand? Because they've never applied themselves to the truth of the Word of God. They don't know the difference between a truth and a lie. But I'm telling you, if you're going to know the truth, you've got to go to the source of truth. And the source of truth is the Word of God. That's what teaches us. That's how we know the truth, is because God has given to us the truth in His divine Word. Your life will be transformed by the truth. Oh yeah, these errors, you know, old wives' fables and doctrines of devils will lead you to hell. But the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. How's a young man going to cleanse his way? Is he going to cleanse his way by joining the ball team? Is that going to keep him out of trouble? Is he going to cleanse his way by getting an advanced degree in college? Is that going to keep him out of trouble? Is he going to cleanse his way by attending the social functions of the church? Is that going to cleanse his way? No, sir. The Bible says, how's he going to cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. This is how a young man cleanses his way. Hey, brother, we're leaning on a lot of broken crutches, but the word of God is the only sure thing that will cleanse a life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. Now here's what I want us to do in this new year. I want us to fall in love with the word of God. Because it's the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's God's will that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. All men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is the truth that saves us. It's the truth that sanctifies us. It's the truth that makes us free. There's power in the Word of God. Power in the truth of this Bible. And God wants you to fall in love with the truth. I'll say some more about that later on. Maybe tonight. But my brother, there are serious consequences when you lose your love for the truth. The Bible tells us in the last days that God's going to turn people over to a delusion because they did not love the truth. When you get to the point to where God speaks to you, say, God, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear what you've got to say. If God corrects us, if God instructs us, if God seeks to speak to you and you're saying, God, you be quiet, you be silent, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. If you do not love the truth, you hearing me? If you do not love the truth, the Bible speaks about those that God gave them over that they would believe a lie because they did not have the love of the truth. What is this Bible for? Paul wrote to Timothy and said to him, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here is the purpose of the word of God. Now, this is what the truth does for you. The truth, it reveals the truth, good doctrine. And good doctrine is necessary for good living. You hear me? I said good doctrine is necessary for good living. And not only does the Bible reveal to us the truth, good doctrine, but it corrects us. Oh yeah, the Bible corrects us. Now, to be honest, you don't know it all. And to be honest, I don't know it all. And so that's the reason why that we read the Bible and study the Bible, because God speaks to us out of that Bible, teaches us, corrects us, instructs us, reproves us. And the Bible tells us not to reprove a scorner. He'll hate you. There's some people who are not going to be reproved, not going to be corrected. But there's an attitude you've got to bring to the Word of God, an attitude of love for the truth. Even if that truth rebukes me, if that truth corrects me, if that truth reproves me, I love the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We got to have that kind of attitude. How many of you read your Bible this past year? Through, all the way through. Oh, we got some hands going up. Thank God. Hey, wonderful. Praise the Lord. You almost finished. Okay. All right. My wife says she almost finished. Well, you know, you don't have to read your Bible through every year to go to heaven. That's not, the Bible don't say that. However, the Bible does teach us, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Who was it that said, search the scriptures? Who said that? Jesus said that. Search the scriptures. And so we've been given instructions by Jesus. We've been given instructions by the apostles that we're to apply ourselves to the truths of the word of God. I'll tell you something. One man said, look around you in church. 3/4 of all the young people have already left the church in their heart. I mean, this man's not a holiness man. He's just, you know, part of the church world out there. He said, look around. 3/4 of the young people in the church have already left the church in their heart. And the reason why is because they have not believed the truth. They've been given alternatives to the truth. They've been given alternatives to the truth by science. They've been given alternatives to the truth by their parents. They've been given alternatives to the truth by their community. And they have not believed the truth. Now, I know it's not the case in every case. I'm speaking in general terms. But, brother, when you believe the truth in your heart, we've got to pass this down. We've got to pass it down to the next generation. We've got to get it in the hands of the next generation. We must teach them. We must demonstrate to them the truth of the Word of God. We've been trusted with the truth. We've been trusted to proclaim it. We've been trusted to preserve it. We've been trusted to portray it by the way that we live and conduct our lives. This is the primary responsibility of the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Now, in this new year, it ain't going to do me any good to command you to read your Bible. If you don't love it, you won't do it. But I want to encourage you to pray that God will give you a love for the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, this Bible, young folks, will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this Bible. As a young man, God saved my soul. Sanctified me. Filled me with the Spirit. And as a teenager, God gave me a love for this book. Oh my, how it helped me, how it corrected me, instructed me. On my lunch hour at school, took my Bible, read and studied my Bible. Go pray, seek the Lord, take my Bible, weep and cry, studying the Word of God as God spoke to my heart. The Word of God taught me, instructed me. The Word of God was my strength. And I want to encourage you this morning. Apply yourself. You're starting a brand new year. Apply yourself to the Word of God. Don't read it like you would a newspaper. Read it prayerfully. Ask God to help you to understand it. Ask God to help you to apply it to your life. God will transform your life by the power of the Word of God. Let's stand together. Father, we're so thankful this morning that you've given us your word. Lord, men have sacrificed their lives to give us the word of God in our own language. Men have labored in dark rooms, in dungeons almost, through history, copying the precious words of life. Washing their hands before they ever wrote the name of God. Every time they came across the name of God, would first go wash their hands before writing that name. And if that name was 2 or 3 times in one verse, every time they came across that name, they would go wash their hands before writing that name. Men have preserved this, Lord, at great sacrifice, with great reverence, have passed it on down to us. Now we have Bibles, Lord, in every room of the house sometimes, sitting on our furniture, collecting dust. We ignore what God has given to us at such a great cost. I pray that you'd help us, inspire us, put a love in our hearts for this. Help us, Lord, to be willing to sacrifice other things that we might give attention to the Word of God. Help us to understand, Lord, those things that are most important in life. And may we understand, Father, that we cannot prosper spiritually unless we're eating well. And so I pray that you'd help us to eat well this year, Father. Help us to realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Give us a heart, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. Lord, when we lose our ability to hear God, and we're listening to other voices, we will become like what we read this morning, of those who are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But we remember what God the Father said on the Mount of Transfiguration, when there was a voice that came out of the cloud and spoke to the disciples and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Give us an ear, Lord, to hear what God has to say to us. May we be instructed. Lord, may we be preserved. May we preserve the truth that's been entrusted to us. Help us to proclaim it. Lord, in good times and bad times, when people want to hear it and when they don't, help us, Lord, to proclaim the truth. And I pray that we would be willing and able by the power of the Spirit to portray the truth in our life, to walk in the truth, live by the truth, and show men by our lives the truth of the Word of God. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.